Please turn to Numbers 21, 1 through 9. I probably was speaking low and Chuck didn't hear me, but that's where we want to be. 21 and verses 1 through 9 will be our text for today. We're grateful for your presence. We're grateful for your attendance. And we hope that you can learn something from a lesson called Nehushtan. And certainly we're grateful for the opportunity to stand before you and to understand the Word of God maybe a little better. Think about where we're at in life and where we need to be. And like the children of Israel, we need to be reminded many times of things that can help us improve as people and as individuals in the Lord's church. Over in Numbers 21, it says, when the Canaanite, the king of Arad, who lived in Negev, heard that Israel was coming by the way of Ephraim, then he fought against Israel and took some of them captive. So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then will I utterly destroy their cities. The Lord heard the voice of the children and delivered up the Canaanites. Then they utterly destroyed them and their cities. Thus the name of the place was Hormah. When they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient because of the journey, the people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and you. Intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us. And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard. And it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live. And Moses made the bronze serpent and set it on the standard. And it came about that if the serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. Sorry about that. So we can see from this story that's going on here, that is our friend that is around us sometimes. That maybe not that one, but many like that. This story is of serpents. Serpents are things that scare most people when they see them, like the picture here. Some are poisonous, some are not. Some have anti-venom for the bite, and some do not. They are very important to our ecosystem, with its checks and balances. There are many stories about serpents in the Bible, and we're going to talk about one. I had the privilege of growing up with a father who was deathly afraid of snakes and due to being bitten by a copperhead when he was 3 years old and the recovery process that he went through thereafter. Not understanding the big picture of snakes and why they're here, he hated everyone that he saw. He was indiscriminate about that. He hated snakes. And to set the scene here, and some of it that Kenan touched on in chapter 10, you have the children of Israel and where they're at in life at this time. They were supposed to go in the land of Canaan 40 years before this. And they'd been wandering around in the wilderness, back and forth, and here and there for 40 years because of the lack of faith that the generation had that they wouldn't go in when the 12 spies went in to spy out the land. Interesting thing is, when you read the text and all the things that goes with it, there's clues and their sandals or their shoes had not worn out. They had been fed with manna from above to where you just had to go up and pick it out off the ground every morning. And when they complained about that, God supplied them with quail. And in chapter 20, Miriam had died. And they saw water come from a rock. It was a miracle of God. Moses was punished for striking a rock and was not permitted to enter into the land of promise because he did not follow God's instructions and speak to the rock. And Aaron had died. So his brother and his sister had died. The generation that was not permitted to enter into the promised land due to their lack of faith was nearing their end. God told them, when you don't go into the land of Canaan, you're going to be punished for walking around in the wilderness, traveling around the wilderness for 40 years. And all of this generation from a certain age up will be dead before you go into the land of Canaan. They're nearing that time in this story. The new generation was now getting near to entering the land of Canaan. And this is the backdrop of the story that we're going to talk about, Nehushtan. When you think about that and all the things they went through, and they were miserable complainers, whether it was the generation before or this generation, certainly a story that we can learn from that in and of itself. Nehushtan, a great victory, as you can see, over in verses 1 and through 3, that God had, they had allowed the Israelites to run into the Canaanite, the king of Arad, and he had taken some of them prisoner, and they begged God to let them win this battle, and they would destroy the cities. This has happened. They're on a high note right now. They have won the battle, all right? And they had the Lord delivered what they wanted, and things were going great for them. Sound like us sometimes? That's where they were at. So when we get to slide 4 here, in Numbers 4, 21 and 4, it says, "Then they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient because of the journey." The Israelites in chapter 20 had requested from the Edomites to cross through their land. Just cross through their land. They won't touch anything. We just want to take a shortcut through your land. They would not allow them to do that. So they were having to go around the land, which put more time and effort into what they were doing. So the people became impatient because of that. And they were having to go above and beyond to get to where they were going, thus say. And they had to go around that land, which would have taken days to make that happen. It wasn't just jumping in the automobile and taking a couple-hour trip around where you're going. Strong says impatience is to be short, to be vexed, to be grieved. What great blessings do we have? The life that we have and live, the spouse that we have, the children we have, the job we have, the house we live in, the car we drive, if you're blessed with one, the food we eat, the air we breathe, the blessings in Christ Jesus. We have been blessed in so many ways like the Israelites. Yet we too become impatient, longing for other things, and not satisfied. All right. I don't get caught up there. But then the slide 5, it says, "And the people turned on Moses and God," in Numbers 21 and 5. "The people spoke against God and Moses, 'Why have you brought us up out of the land of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, no water, And we loathe this miserable food which you have supplied for us. Speaking against God and all the things that they were doing and all the things that were happening in their life, it is no wonder that when the government gives us everything, we're not happy, are we? It is no wonder when things are handed to us on a silver platter, we do not take care of it. They had wandered around in the wilderness again for 40 years, and they're nearing the end of this, and they're getting ready to go into the land of Canaan. In a short period of time here, they're going to be going into the land of Canaan. The generation that complained and were afraid were not going into the land of Canaan. They were going to die. If they haven't died already, they're going to drop dead before that happened. Now that is what you call a death sentence, right? They had seen the Lord dismantle Egypt, cross the Red Sea. They had been fed with manna that you just had to go out and pick up off the ground. And when that didn't work, God fed them with quail. All he had to do was go out and pick them up. Given water when needed, and even from a rock, which was totally out of the ordinary. But they were not satisfied. As we go through life and the things that are not going the way that we think that they should, we start complaining. We are no longer satisfied with what we have. And we start longing for other things. And these pictures in here, just artists can think so's and all that, so please take them for what they're worth. Next, the Lord shows his power in Numbers 21 and 6. When they come and complained about what was going on, the Lord sent fiery serpents among them, and it bit the people, and many died. The Lord sent fiery serpents among them, and you barely see them in this picture right here, this artist drawing, going around on the ground, whatever they were, who knows. But they were some kind of serpents. You remember the fear and phobia we have of snakes, especially poisonous ones. And all that's going on with that. And thinking about all of these things, and many had died that were bitten by these snakes that are running around. What caused this anyway? To start with, the people were complaining, right? Is that like us? Do we ever complain? Do we ever get unsatisfied with what we have? And I would start saying, I wish I had this, I wish I had that, I wish this was different. And we start complaining just like they did. We're on this spiritual high in life, and all of a sudden we get on a spiritual low. And all the things that are happening. Sin is like that in our lives, mine and yours. We are bitten by sin, and we look for a cure. But many do not look in the right place for the answer. Understand, for sin, there is no doctor or psychiatrists that can remove sin. And go to all of them you want. They can't do it. Numbers 21 and 7. What with that comes a change in 21 and 7. So the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, because we have spoken against the Lord and you. Intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us." And Moses interceded for the people. The people came to Moses, stating that they had sinned against him and the Lord. And would God remove the serpents from them? Isn't that the way we are when we get in sin, tangled up, and struggling with sin? God, if you'll just do this for me, I won't ask anything else. If my life was just the way I want it to be and how I want it to be, then I will serve you, Lord. We're different than the Israelites, right? But isn't it true that so many times when we do that, that as soon as that thing is passed, we forget about it? And then something in our life comes along again, and we want God to forgive us. We want God to cure us. We want God to take that sin away. And when we, like in their case, where they requested Moses to intercede for us, we want somebody to help us get rid of this burden that we're carrying. We all know that's a hard thing to say, that I have sinned. We must swallow our pride and admit to mistakes that we don't want to admit to. And today, we need to repent and pray Jesus that he will intercede for us when we make mistakes called sin. So, as we see from the slide here, the next remedy comes from with condition within. You see, they asked for a way to get out of where they were at. So Israel was killed, and then they were given a way to live. In 21:8, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, will live. And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a standard. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived." So we can see that the Lord gave him instructions to make the bronze serpent, the fiery serpent, if you would, and to understand all the things that's going on with that. Now again, this is just an artist's conception of what he thinks it looks like. We have no idea. And put it on a standard, and you put it up, and then if you look on that, you'll be saved from your sin, and you'll live because of the murmuring and complaining. So if you didn't look on this thing, what happened to you? You died. Now, what is the difference today, right? When we think about all these things that are going on and all that's happening, all of us have been affected by sin and the things that happen. Worldly things have gotten in the way. Once we were bitten by sin, there was only one way out. All those who had faith to look upon the serpent lived. And all of us who look upon Jesus and follow him will have eternal life. Quite a contrast, right? So we're going to see a little bit of this contrast here because it's mentioned over in the New Testament and all that's going on. In like manner, when we think about that, as Moses was lifted up, had lifted up the serpent, we have a Savior that was lifted up and nailed to the cross. In agony and pain, he died for us. It's best stated in John 3:9, starting 3:15. You remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night? That's what this text is all about. And it's talking to him about needing to be born again in the first part of this chapter. And then Jesus, in this conversation with Nicodemus, Nicodemus said to him, "How can we these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen and do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be lifted up, and so that whoever believes on him will have eternal life. And thinking about that, and the interesting points with that, that would be in reference to that serpent that was long ago. Now hush, Stan, and I'll tell you why in just a few minutes. John 3:16, a verse that we very well know, 3:21, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of our only begotten Son of God. This is a judgment, that the light was come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light. For their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, for fear of his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." John 8:24 says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he." John 14:15 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Pretty easy, right? This man that died on a cross for us. Just as the Israelites of old had to look on the brazen serpent, we had to look on Jesus as our Savior and follow at his commands. Now, continuing through the ages, the brazen serpent appears again in the Jewish Israelites' doings as they're upon the earth. Over in 2 Kings 18, 1 through 4, there's a story about a man named Hezekiah. He's going to become king. And continued through the ages until in 2 Kings 18, 1, it says, "Now it came about in the third year of Hosea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, became king. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. He did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah. As he broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made, until the days the sons of Israel burned incense to it, and it was called Nehushtan." The very same brazen serpent that Moses had put up on a standard to save their life, it is still around approximately 700 years later. As you can see, young people, Hezekiah became king at the age of 25. He is referred to one that did what was right in the sight of God. The people had set up a fiery serpent in the high places and were burning incense to it. Hezekiah had it removed and broken into pieces. Nehushtan was the name by which the brazen serpent made by Moses in the wilderness was worshipped in the time of King Hezekiah, of Judah before he destroyed it. In all this, we, like Hezekiah, can stand for the right thing. As young people or persons, we can make a difference in this world. We can remove the things in our lives that are not pleasing unto God, even if we had a bad father and mother. Even if it has lingered for many years. 700 years. About 700 years have passed from the time they set it up in the wilderness until now. They held on to the brazen serpent till now. And were worshiping the brazen serpent. You know, there's nothing in the scriptures about worshiping or worshiping a brazen serpent anywhere. The people took that on themselves. They added that to that. And we need to understand that. And we need to understand what are the things made of brass will stand between us and God, spiritually speaking. Material things that deteriorate and are soon gone. A few moments of pleasure. Some say, but you don't know how strong the temptation is. I can't live without it. God will have to accept me the way I am. There is no place in the Bible that God has accepted mankind on their terms. I stand strong, defines it just as a piece of brass. And all that's going on with that, a thing, a piece of brass. Name given by Hezekiah to that thing, which is a piece of brass or bronze. Name by which the brazen serpent made by Moses in the wilderness was worshipped in the time of Hezekiah of Judea before he destroyed it. And we need to understand that. And the pleasures and all the things we have in this world, we have to understand that God will not accept us on our terms. And we need to be very careful with that. What is our nahushtan, so to speak? What are the things that stand or we allow to stand between us and God? What is so important that we put this thing before God? What is my nahushtan? And what am I looking to other than God? Why is it when we're tangled up in sin and other people know about it and they try to talk to us about it and we don't want to hear it, that we don't want to change? Because you see, that is mine or your nahushtan. That is the thing we have put between us and God. Spiritually speaking, just as a piece of brass, the bronze brazen serpent, so is that thing that you let stand between you and God. It don't matter what it is. When you look back on your life, there are those nahushtans that we all can see and the things that needed to be removed. Or maybe there's things that needs to be removed today. Nahushtan. Conclusion. Summing it all up. Are you a Christian? Are you a complainer? Do you become impatient with godly things? Do you blame God for things that you see as a nehushtan? Those who are not Christians, why are you not a Christian? Who has eternal life to give? And who gave his son to die for us? For our sins. Nehushtan, a piece of metal. It was given for a reason, to take away the death of the fiery serpents that went among the people. 700 years later, they're worshiping it and have been worshiping it. In our lives, whether Christian or not, when sin enters our lives and it becomes our nehushtan, that worthless piece of whatever, and we don't want to separate it from it for God, because mainly because I see pleasure or I have pleasure in what I'm doing or whatever, and I don't want that nehushtan to leave, I will carry it around with me for many, many years. My nehushtan. So if you're with us and you have not been baptized into Christ for remission of your sins, we're giving you an opportunity this morning to do so. And to make your right life, life right with him. But if you are a Christian and you're messed up and things in your life are just a mess and you have nehushtans too, we're affording you an opportunity and a privilege to fix those things in your life that are not by praying to God, and we'll pray for you. So many people want to meet God on their terms. I cannot stress that enough. If I could just find a church that does the things I do and the way I want to do things, then I'll worship God. Will you? I hope you understand the importance of a nehushtan and why you're dragging them around with you and whatever it is. For you see, we love you, we care about you, and we want you to go to heaven. But will you go to heaven with a nehushtan hanging around your neck, so to speak? You think about those things, and as we stand and sing the song that John has prepared, you come.